Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you here on Close Up Radio, and we really appreciate you being here. Thanks so much for joining us here. It is always a wonderful opportunity to expand our knowledge and our thinking and so much more. And it's always a pleasure to have you here. It's also a pleasure to welcome and to highlight life experience coach and author Cassie Shea, who's joining us from Santa Barbara, California. You know, if there was such a thing as a professional warrior, it is a title that Cassandra Cassie Ann Shea nearly adopted. She once fretted over everything. Now, one day Cassie found her inner voice, and it changed everything. She became a book author and a life experience coach, using all she had learned to help others from being robbed of pure happiness. When it comes to life experiences, Cassie notes it's the quality, not the quantity, that counts. While she might be young, Cassie has already faced some of the toughest crossroads. Things like a job change, a divorce, moving to a new place. And now she helps others who are at a transition point to really experience their life in a way that allows them to reshape their life experience. First step, she says, is to realize you have to be someone different to get to the other side. This requires dealing with things deeply and soulfully, which is not necessarily the same as seriously. Cassie says approaching things from a point of humor can take the sting out of the stories we don't want to tell. In fact, her forthcoming book, Let's Worry About Everything, relates her own life story with a healthy dose of humor. Cassie shares her feelings of being lonely or hollow, all that stress from earning an MBA, then taking on multiple responsibilities for people and marketing strategies, and even her failed personal relationships too. But her life story changed to a positive one when she decided to stop worrying so much. According to Cassie, she helps her clients narrow the focus, set priorities, and design the change. And she gives them the tools to get to their goals. I'd like to learn more about Let's Worry About Everything, her new book. You can go to this website. And if you want to know and connect with Cassie, you can go to CassieShea.com. That's CassieShea.com. CassieShea.com. Very excited to have her here on the program, and love to welcome her here again, live and direct from Santa Barbara. Cassie, thank you very much for joining us on Close Up Radio today. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Absolutely, Jim. I'm so excited to spend this time with you and our listeners talking about something that I'm guessing more than one person is experiencing other than myself, which is worry. So I'm really excited to have an honest, open chat, and I'm sure a few laughs along the way.
Yes, people know me that I'm always looking for the laugh. I'm always looking for a way to laughter is very disarming. Laughter is very ice-breaking and unifying. It's like a universal language like music, and to be very healing as well, as you know. You consider yourself to be a life experience coach. Tell us about that. If you can explain just what that is and what inspired you along the way in your own life's journey to want to help others, to help others find clarity and focus and solace in their lives as a life experience coach.
Absolutely. Well, I'm taking myself back to January 2020. So if we roll the clock back a couple of years here past before the pandemic, I was living in a life that didn't feel like it was the right size. I had achieved quite a bit of success. I was 30 years old at the time. I had an amazing corporate job. I worked with great people. I had an apartment overlooking all of downtown Los Angeles. I felt like everything in my life had sort of indicated that I had made it. And when I looked out on my life, I felt this deep emptiness and feeling of being hollow and realized that the scorecard of my life had been about checking boxes. I'm going to go to graduate school. I'm going to get a great job. I'm going to climb the corporate ladder. I'm going to get married. I'm going to live in the best neighborhood that I can find and eat at the best restaurants and travel to the best cities in the world. And so I checked all these boxes, and it didn't make me happy. And I was so frustrated because I thought that if only I had all of the material markings of success, I would eventually feel successful. And so I took a step back and I basically changed literally everything about my life. And the reason why I'm so passionate about experiences in life is because it helps me reflect on not just being addicted to the next achievement, but as I started dismantling my life, I changed my job. I changed my relationship with my body by losing weight. I changed my relationship with my creativity by writing a book. There was no stone unturned in this life change. And I realized that instead of chasing material success, instead of chasing achievement, which had almost become an addiction, I felt like I needed the next high, I needed the next achievement to make meaning out of my life. I realized that I needed to take a step back and consider what was the experience. And instead of living so much from my head about, okay, I need to analyze the next achievement, I need to make the next move on the chessboard of my life, I realized that life is an experience, and I needed to connect from my heart to my creativity, to other people, and to the world around me. And so what I'm really passionate about helping other people do is create an inner compass where your life steps aren't necessarily directed by the story of success that the world tells you. You need more money, a better place to live. You need a certain, you know, status in society to feel like you've made it. Really, it's about connecting to your heart and creating an experience where you know you can be at home anywhere. You can belong anywhere because you're connected to your truer essence or your truer identity. And to me, that gives a lot of freedom to create new and fun experiences in life where I don't feel like I'm directed by this inner voice that tells me I'm not enough unless I achieve the next milestone or next marker, but I can actually take a step back and experience life as it's unfolding and be really present and set goals from a different set point or a different compass in me. So that's what I'm really passionate about in terms of being a life experience coach, is helping people create that new compass and that set point in their life where their success isn't dictated by a story outside of themselves, but actually by listening to the story inside of them that they want to create and bring to the world.
That's fantastic. That is really a beautiful way to approach life and the work that you do as a life experience coach, Cassie. You now have something quite exciting. You have a 5-step program to help people worry less and live more. That's incredible. I hope everybody's turning up their volume when they hear this, that Cassie has this 5-step program to help people worry less and live more. The first step is reframing the word worry, right? Tell us about the first step and why it's important to reframe the word worry. And then tell us about the 5 steps in total.
I'd love to. Well, Jim, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but whenever somebody tells me, hey, don't worry, that's never really helped me. I'll be honest.
Right.
That just makes
me
more suspicious. Like being told, hey, don't worry, that's usually not very calming to me. And so the humorist in me always tries to find a joke. I want to like respond with something humorous. And what I realized with the word worry is there's so much information right now on basically helping us not worry, and it's really beautiful work. And what I wanted to do is kind of flip it on its head and say, actually, I've been a worrier all my life. In fact, my mom wrote the prologue of my upcoming book and talks about how I was the world's most worried toddler. It started at about 2, and so she tells some of those stories in the book. And instead of actually fighting this natural inclination I've had, I've actually learned to make friends with worry. Instead of trying to force it down and say, like, okay, I shouldn't worry, I need to be a person who doesn't worry, I just woke up one day and went, oh my gosh, I've worried about everything for my whole life. What if I made that my superpower? And so I reframed the word worry and built my program around that, to help others worry less and live more. And ultimately what that is about connecting to your creative center. Because when you connect to your creativity, that's where things start to shift. So I'd love to take you through and the listeners through what worry stands for now, if you're ready.
Yes, love to hear it.
Awesome. So I reframed worry to start with the word wonder. For me, wonder is about activating your awareness and aligning to your curiosity compass. I deeply believe curiosity is the cure to worry. So whenever I start getting worried about something, instead of going down the path of wondering, what's the worst case scenario? What's the worst thing that can happen next? And I'm a professional at that, trust me. Like, if you ever need somebody to diagram all the things that could go wrong, you probably should call me. But the curiosity actually shifts into what could go right. So I indulge myself. I'll set a timer, maybe 5 minutes, and I'll write about everything that could go wrong. And sometimes I check in and go, oh, whoa, thank you, worry. You pointed out something that really could have been bad, and it's actually important that I'm tuning into that. So it's not about just dismissing everything you're worried about. It's actually looking at it and, again, going to that place of wonder and asking yourself, is this a legitimate worry? Is this a worry that's trying to keep me safe, or is this a worry that's trying to keep me small? In other words, is this worry protecting me somehow, or is this worry trying to suppress my creativity? So I believe curiosity is the cure. So once you shift into wonder, you can really start getting curious about what worry is bringing up. The next reframe of worry is the word, or the letter O, and that stands for observe. So for me, that's about operating with openness and shifting into sensing instead of shaming. For me, that means being, once you're starting with getting curious, then you're being open to new things working out. So for me, worry has always been a little bit of a prison because it's kind of kept me isolated. It's easy to kind of sit at home and worry about everything that could go wrong, especially during the pandemic in the last couple of years. That's all we've been doing. And the observational component helps you shift into getting a little bit more space between what you're worried about and your ability to actually think through it. So when I talk about shifting into sensing versus shaming, there's parts of my story that don't feel great to talk about. For example, I've been divorced twice. By the time I was 30, I'd been married and divorced twice. And that was a huge sense of shame for me. I felt like I let down my family. I felt like I let down myself. I felt like I let down my former partners. And instead of letting that story of shame actually dictate the rest of my life, I started shifting into sensing, how can that be a lesson? What's the lesson in this for me? Instead of letting shame keep me stuck, I shifted into the perspective of what can actually teach me something. So that's what I talk about when I talk about observing. The next phase is reflection. And this is really near and dear to my heart. I'm a writer, and I've kept a journal ever since I was 7 years old. I actually have every one of my journals stacked in a box somewhere. So at 7, my concerns were a little different than, 17 or 27. But if I ever am wondering about what I worried about at 17 or 7, I can actually go back and look at that. But the reflection piece of our reframing of worry, the first R is reflect. And that's about journaling your way from judgment into joy. A lot of the prison of worry for me was a lot about judging myself, judging others, judging the environment, feeling like things weren't working out the way I wanted them to, and then getting really upset about it. And so instead of staying stuck in that point, reflection for me and why I think journaling is such an important activity and it's free and anyone can do it, is you can actually journal your way from judgment into joy. So shifting that perspective. That kind of bleeds in really quick to the next R, which is reframe. And this is really what I did with my book. So I'm doing this a little bit in a scary way and putting the story out internationally. But I've rewritten my life story with the 3H framework, and that's what I teach my clients. And the 3H stands for honesty, humor, and heart. And so what I've been able to do with my life and my worries is actually take them and write about them honestly, try to make them funny. I don't know. Everyone else will be the judge. My mom laughed, which was pretty good. And then also talk about the things that really are on my heart. And so when I was able to rewrite my life story using the power of reframing, using those 3H formulas, I was actually able to shift into a person who could create new experiences in my life. So it's all tied in together. And the final piece, the why, is yes. And that's about choosing intentionally what you say yes to. The worry kept me feeling very isolated. It kept me feeling like I wasn't ready to become the person to meet my goals. And it also, in a way, was very selfish for me, because worry is about thinking about myself and thinking about what could go wrong and, frankly, staying stuck. And so when I was able to start saying yes to the type of new experiences I wanted, it actually shifted me out of the perspective of being worried about myself to actually caring for other people and being willing to serve and show up and make a difference in other people's lives by sharing my story and also sharing, from my unique perspective, how I think I can help and serve others. So saying yes was the power that started changing things. So there you have it. Worry, wonder, observe, reflect, reframe, and yes.
That's so important. I love the way you described it, too, with such passion. It's really amazing to have it so well thought out in the way you do in the five steps. I really applaud you for that. You know, you in looking at some of your own personal experiences, which I know you're very open about, you were married and divorced twice, and all in an early time, by the age of 30, had a high-powered career as well. And these transitions that people face at ages like 25 and 35, are these usual transitions that people are facing during those times in their life? And how would you say, Cassie, that they're different from what people might face later on, like ages 50 and beyond? I know probably from 50 and beyond, health and wellness starts to, come into play as well.
Absolutely. Well, I was homeschooled from kindergarten to college, so I actually never went to any kind of formal school. I had a wonderful, amazing education at home. And this was before people started homeschooling, during the pandemic, which is now a little bit more ubiquitous. And so for me, I've never felt like I was on a quote-unquote usual or normal track. I feel like I've always kind of danced a little bit to the beat of my own drum. But one of the stories my mom reminded me of when she wrote the prologue of my book was that when I was in elementary school, I was deeply concerned and worried about how I would have a career and buy a house. So I'd sit at the dinner table and I would ask my parents about mortgages and financing and how to purchase a house. And this is like before I turned 10. So I've always just been a person who's, I guess, worried and also had ambitions to go out in the world and find my place. And so I'm not sure that the kind of the transitions that I went through in my 20s are necessarily normal. And in some ways that was really difficult for me, because I felt like I was, I joked that I had my midlife crisis at, 30, 31 versus 45 or 50 even. So I feel like I kind of hit my midlife crisis a little early. But I also feel like it's given me some deep perspective. And I feel that when I connect to people who are at a different age, that's one thing I love about my work and my life, is I get to meet people who are all different ages. And I found that people are going through, in some ways, very similar transitions. And the transitions that I hear a lot of are, how do I create a legacy? And when you mention people above 50 and concerns about the transitions in life, I actually think people are asking that question even earlier now. Since our whole world has changed over the last few years, people want to know how their unique work, their unique imprint, their unique voice is making a difference in the world. And so some of the transitions that I help my clients through and have had these beautiful, deep conversations with people over the last just even few years of this work has been, what kind of legacy do I create? How do I tell my story? And more importantly, how do I actually show up and serve someone else? It's one thing to have a career where we, hit our milestones and we create success and we acquire the next, object of the career, whether that's a promotion or a title. But I think people are actually starting to ask more meaning-driven questions from the heart of, how do I actually show up and serve the world? And so one of the transitions I actually work quite a bit with my clients on is the transition into higher emotional intelligence, which is a lot about, how do I actually speak from my heart? We're really, as a society, conditioned to speak from the head. We use a lot of statements about, I think. There's a lot of analysis, especially in the corporate world, you usually make a business case or a logical case using your brain. What I try to do is actually help people connect to their three brains, your head, your heart, and your gut, or your instinct, your intuition, and your intellect. So if you connect your head, your heart, and even your gut instinct together, that gives you a lot more power. So whatever transition you're going to or going through, you actually have more resources than just staying in that heady space of thinking things through. So I think a lot of the transitions we're seeing in our world right now are about meaning making. Another one that comes up very strongly is creativity. People are getting a lot more creative. Inflation is happening. We're having to be more creative with our budgeting. We're having to be more creative with how we socialize, how we connect as a family. I don't know if anyone else has been on a Zoom family reunion in the last couple years, but I never thought that would be a thing. And so, you know, we're getting a lot more creative, and I think beyond the creativity of connection and problem solving, I'm really passionate about helping my clients transition from their identity being tied so much to their work or their job or their title into having a new identity that's actually based in the experiences they're creating in life, but also the actual creative output. So some of my clients have gone off, we do this really deep heart work, and they have gone off and they started a pottery studio, or they started a online shop on Etsy to sell their artwork. Or another client right now is reinventing how experiential theater happens. So to me, there's a really beautiful transition that's happening that I think spans the generations and unites us to say, how are we showing up in the world more creatively, and how are we expressing ourselves and creating art together, which I think is actually a really exciting transition.
That's beautifully said, and it's so, you know, what it's really great about it is it's very hopeful and helpful in the way that you have this laid out. One of the, you know, stresses and transitions for you was about your career and the impetus, obviously, to make money. Now you look at money more differently. Tell us that view about earnings and the ability to create value for others.
Absolutely. I was gifted this book this year called The Psychology of Money. And one of the questions that it poses is, what is enough? And that question has really sat with me, because in the past, when I was more addicted to my own achievement and on that path of being a corporate executive and wanting to prove myself constantly, it was all about the dollar amount. What was I making? What were other people making? Why were they making more than me? How can I make more money? And it never felt like enough. And so I remember this very distinctly. I've had the fun life experience of making minimum wage up to, you know, a high-powered corporate executive salary and everything in between. And the number didn't make me happy. I thought just more would make me happy. And I was so into that story. So everything was about more, 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 more. And at the time, I was actually really overweight. And I think that was actually really correlated, because I just felt this gnawing, aching hunger that I was just never satisfied in my life. I just wanted more. And the easiest thing to grab onto was money, because money is, you know, material. It seemed like an easy indicator to know how I was doing in life. And I remember the paycheck coming in, direct deposit, and I remember looking at it every month and just feeling like, I wish it was a little more or a lot more. And so finally, when that question kind of was posed, is what is enough? I shifted my perspective, and now I do something that I think all of our listeners could benefit from, and I call it the lottery test. It's super simple. And what it is I run everything in my life. So every relationship, every adventure I'm going to take, every decision I'm going to make, and I run it through this really simple lottery test. And lottery test goes like this. If I won the lottery today, would I engage in this activity? Would I still be in the relationship? Would I still live where I live? And I just run everything through my life through this lottery test. And it's really interesting, because certain things are just so obvious that it's time to let go. If unlimited resources poured into my life the next day, I wouldn't do X, Y, or Z. And there are certain things in my life that I 100,000%, 1,000,000% know. But if I won the lottery tomorrow, I would still be doing it. Things like having this conversation today, writing my book. There's a long list, but the lottery test kind of takes the it actually kind of plays with that concept of enough, because it's not about the money. It's not really about the number. And I'm not trying to be too woo-woo here, because I know we all have to make money and there's pragmatic bills to pay and life responsibilities to uphold.
Hey, woo-woo is good every once in a while.
It's a little good, right?
Never get rid of the woo-woo.
Okay, good. So if you just take a step back for a second, to me, I just put myself in that place, and I actually try to calm my body down. So I actually bring some somatic nervous system regulation, just really try to calm my body down, put myself in that imagination of complete peace, surrender, unlimited resources, would I do this thing? And that lottery test has served me so well as a new compass, because it takes away the need for more and that gnawing, aching hunger for more, and it helps me actually focus on that feeling of enoughness. And then I can kind of kick my MBA brain in and, you know, make a spreadsheet, make a profit and loss statement, or make a budget, whatever I need to do, and I can run the numbers through that later. But I actually start with the energetics, and I look at that concept of enough and actually bring that peace into my body and use that to help me make the decision. Because then it's not about me getting back on that treadmill. And I talk a lot about achievement addiction, and I feel like in some ways I'll kind of always be in life recovery from that corporate ladder climbing kind of energy where I just wanted more, 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 more. So whenever I start feeling like that, I kind of put myself in a timeout, I run this lottery test, and then I just get really quiet and I focus on like that feeling of enoughness. And now I kind of play a game where I'm going through life and I'm thinking like, oh, this is just an experience where it's just enough. Like more wouldn't add anything to it. And now that's kind of a joke amongst me and my friends and family. This is just enough. And it's become a really beautiful word of feeling very content with what you have versus wondering what you don't have or longing after something that's not here yet.
That's really fantastic. That's what it's all about. And you've written this book, and boy, we only have like 2-3 minutes here. The book, all that you went through, is documented in this beautiful way and puts troubling experiences in the humorous light. Let's Worry About Everything, coming out this fall. Tell us, if you can, a little bit about the book and how listeners can sign up for your early reader list.
Absolutely. I am so overjoyed that this book is coming into the world. It feels like a very long journey, and now I'm coming home. And I think of the gift that that is. And so the book's coming out around Christmas, so mark your calendars for December 1st. And I would love for everyone listening to go to CassieShea.com so you can sign up for the early reader list. I'm going to be doing some really fun things, including hosting a live book club. That book club's going to kick off in January, and I'm actually going to go through the book. It's 12 chapters. I'm going to go through the book every month, and we'll get to do a live Q&A. So please sign up for my email list, again, at CassieShea.com. I would love to have you live on Zoom. We'll be talking together about the book and have live author Q&A every month next year. The book, Let's Worry About Everything, it's a very playful title, and the way I introduce the book is, I worried about everything, so you don't have to, and you're welcome. So
yeah.
It covers everything from... honestly, we talked a lot about life transitions. It talks about parents aging and how I wish I could shrink my parents down and keep them the age they are today. Worried about education, figuring out a career. Breakups, surprisingly, was some of the early readers' favorite chapter. And I was like, hey, thanks, everybody. That was a tough one to get through. But again, this book is about taking the things that, in some ways, everyone has experienced, and trying to actually bring that humor, heart, and hope into the story, that 3H framework. And really, humor was what started shifting things for me. Once I was able to write about my experiences and laugh about them, and the thing that brings me the most joy is when people tell me which joke they laughed at in the book. That's absolutely the best news ever. Then it really has helped me learn that, you know what, we're all worried about things. And if we can actually come together and laugh, people feel a lot less alone. And so I hope that people get the feeling of, hey, somebody gets me when they read the book. And I feel a little bit more at home in myself because I was actually able to laugh about the things we all worry about.
People want to learn about the book, they can go to CassieShea.com. That's CassieShea.com. Cassie, the half hour went by in a New York minute, but a real pleasure having you as a guest. I hope we get a chance to explore some more, maybe hear some success stories, things of that nature. That would be spectacular. Kudos to you on everything you're doing and all the wonderful things you're experiencing in your life, too. Congratulations on the book, Let's Worry About Everything. CassieShea.com is the website to learn more about the book and everything else that she's doing and how she could help you as well. Cassie, really a pleasure. I hope you enjoyed the time as much as I certainly have.
Jim, thank you so much for having me, and thank you to all of our listeners who tuned in. I hope that you worry a little bit less and live a lot more. I hope you have a beautiful day. Thank you, Jim.
You as well. You as well. Very, very excited to tell you about this book, gang. If you want to learn more about it, it's her forthcoming book. She's very excited about it, and the reason to be is obvious. It's a terrific book, Let's Worry About Everything. Relates her own life story with a healthy dose of humor, and in it, again, she shares her feelings of being lonely or hollow. You might relate to that if you're feeling that right now. A lot of people are, especially after what we've been dealing with the last few years. And all the stress from earning an MBA on her behalf, then taking on multiple responsibilities for people and marketing strategies, even dealing with the experience of personal relationships. But her life changed to a positive one, and she decided to stop worrying so much. CassieShea.com is the website. I'm Jim Masters, your host. Thank you for joining us and for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another extraordinary guest right here for you on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, enjoy your day. We'll chat again soon, and thanks for being with us. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.